And now to the letters from the Evening News. The Wroxham Bottleneck, the Castle Museum and Elm Helm feature this week. But we start with the cyclists issue, which has been rumbling on for months. This letter is from Chris Phil from Heatherset, who writes...
Your columnist Nick Conrad recently wrote a piece expressing the view that motorists were always complaining about cyclists and suggesting that it was some form of one-upmanship. I think he's wrong in his suggestion. And if it's true, the reason that motorists and pedestrians seem to be against cyclists is because of the vast amount of money spent to create cycleways at the expense of motorists and pedestrians. It's difficult to put dedicated cycle paths in a city. But if limited road space has been given to one form of transport, then there is less room for everyone else. The worst thing of all is that all this money has been spent, but there is no compulsion on cyclists to use the cycle paths created for them. Also, it seems that motorists are to be restricted to 20 miles per hour over more Norwich streets, thus creating more pollution. We now find that cyclists can ride through all the pedestrianised streets as well. As an elderly pedestrian, I view this with some apprehension, but I was glad to see that the Norwich Cycling Campaign has suggested it would be better for cyclists to use Castle Meadow and St Andrew's Street. I hope they will inform cyclists that Section 64 states that they must not cycle on pavements, as many seem to think they've been given the right to. The councillors seem pretty confident that no pedestrians will be injured, but they must be aware that incidents have occurred. Only recently, a 50-year-old lady was mown down and left in a life-threatening condition in London. Perhaps when this happens in Norwich, common sense will prevail. It will certainly give Parliament food for thought when they discuss making it compulsory for cyclists to take out insurance.
Mrs. Elizabeth James of Antingham writes about an addition to the landscape of Elm Hill. She writes, on visiting Elm Hill on August the 24th, I noticed a giant bollard had been placed at the end of Wagon and Horses Lane to prevent high vehicles damaging beautiful historic properties. This is important, but for the gross weight and the size of the object, and that it forces drivers to reverse out blind onto fast-moving traffic and buses at Tombland. A driver delivering to a local gallery was trapped due to the obstacle course of cars parked in the lane, so the bollard was being lowered by a gentleman of similar maturity to my husband, who kindly offered to help. It transpired they both suffer from high blood pressure. Age is clearly a disadvantage, but even the young could easily suffer back or wrist injury lowering such a grossly oversized weight. I have no idea who was involved in its erection, but whoever it was clearly has absolutely no regard for the health and safety of the public and could even cause a fatality. Thankfully, not yet.
That well-known bottleneck, the Wroxham Bridge, is the subject of the letter from Reg Parsons of Horning, who writes, with regular one-mile tailbacks to Wroxham Bridge, is it not time that the Wroxham bypass was resurrected? I suffered this morning, adding nearly half an hour to my journey. It must be some 20 years since the original proposal was made and compensation agreed to those displaced by the scheme. Since then, both private and commercial traffic has increased, exacerbated by the housing development at Hofton and the large estate built at Stalham. The original route proposed was to the south of the village, but surely, with little housing between Beeler and Wroxham, this to me would appear to be the route with minimum disturbance. Can the authorities, whether government-sponsored or highways, tell me why this can't go ahead?
The letter from Norwich reader David Coe is promoting an exhibition at the Castle Museum. The latest exhibition at the Castle Museum of the Paston Treasure Riches, which has on show 130 objects to view, finishes on September the 23rd. I would urge people who have not yet seen it to make the trip and have a look before it closes. This world-class exhibition has been put together by begging and borrowing pieces from all over the world, and it is to the credit of the Castle Museum that they have arranged it for all to view in Norfolk. This will probably be a one-off opportunity to see all of these items together again. I particularly liked the large painting, which had nearly every item in it mixed up in such a chaotic manner that you did wonder if the artist, even in those days, was under the influence of some kind of ancient drug. The Florence tabletop, the silver gilt flagons, a mother of pearl perfume flask, a Strombus shell cup and two Nautilus cups are all wonderful to admire. But you have to wonder if they had any practical everyday use, or were they just bought just to put on show in your house to let visitors know how rich you were. I also like the original sale list of valuable items and the prices listed on it, which totaled to a little over a meagre £500. Which, in truth, was probably a small fortune then.
That's all the letters for now. More next time. We continue with more news stories from around Norwich, and in a few minutes, our first feature, this week written by Keith Skipper.